Yeah, so Psalm 37 is where we're going to start today, is our jumping point, by the grace of God. Let's ask God to help us understand what he would want us to understand today. Today's a tough message. It's not tough in terms of, oh, he really beat me up from the pulpit. It's tough that this is a tough concept to get our arms around. But we're going to trust that the Spirit's going to do that. And because I'm just a mere man. So let's pray and ask for God to help. Father, we do need you. We need your help. We so want to understand the things of your word. We want to understand you. We want to know you better, because in knowing you more is just this inexhaustible riches. And it's in knowing you, Father, that we find true peace and true joy and true comfort and true hope. So, Lord, we want those things, and we want to love you, and we want to love others because of our love for you, and we're asking now that you would help us. Just open our eyes to your glory. Open our eyes to the glory of the gospel, the glory of Christ. Open our eyes to the Spirit's work in our lives and in the work of others around us. And may we just be blessed this morning, particularly and especially. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 37 is our jumping point today. We've been blessed over the past few weeks to be studying some things that we feel ought to be present in the lives of those who claim to follow Christ in a life that could be rightfully called Christian. We know that there are certain things that will be present. Why? Because in a true born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit is present. So we know there are certain things that will be present. We've titled them basics. We've titled them the basics of the Christian life. And we've looked back at an Old Testament character and some of his writings inspired by the Spirit to help draw them. That character, of course, is a well-known one, David. David is one whose humanness really resonates with us. Far from perfect. He walked by faith at times. Sometimes he totally blew it and sinned in horrific ways. Adultery, murder. But in the end, he always returned back to God, because he knew God. And he knew that God was where he was supposed to be. He trusted that God loved him. The things of his day didn't shake that trust and that love. And he desired to love God back. As a matter of fact, he would see his sin primarily as not loving God back, which was particularly grievous given the love God had shown him. So from Psalms 34 and 37, we've compiled quite a list. So, starting with, this is just not my day for audiovisual. There it is. Quite a list. So, a God-centeredness. We know that one of the fruits of the new birth is going from a life that is us-centered, me-centered, what I want, I am the God, to a life that is God-centered. We know that those who are aware of where they were going before Christ and where they're now going because of Christ lead lives that are full of praise, a praising of the Lord. We talked about our oxygen tank underwater, a prayer life where we commune with God through prayer. And He takes our burdens off of us in prayer. He gives us wisdom in answer to our prayer. We talked about a fear of the Lord. We don't really need to look much around our society to see that one of the symptoms of our society is our society is eating the fruits of no fear of God, where in a Christian life there is a fear of the Lord. We talked about a stew, all the things that go into the fear of the Lord. We talked about having an eternal perspective. We live now in light of what is to come. We don't live for this. And we live amongst people who are living for this. We trust in the Lord. We don't know why certain things happen. There's some things we just can't figure out. The old book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Well, first we would challenge as a really good people. But we get the concept. People who just seem to be trying to live their life in a way that's pleasing the Lord have horrific things happen to them. Why? We don't know. Sometimes we just have to trust the Lord. And then last week we talked about if there's a true trusting of the Lord, if there's saving faith present, that is going to bear fruit in our lives through good works to others, reflecting God outward for the glory of God. So that's quite a list. And today we come to another command from God through David in his scripture. And that's not out of the ordinary because God's scriptures are filled with commands. But today's command is different than almost any other. So it's found in David's words in Psalm 37, the first part of verse 4. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. It's a command. We are commanded by God to delight ourselves in Him. I find that interesting. He commands us through David. He tells us to delight in Him. So this will be our next basic, a life that delights itself in the Lord. A life that delights itself in the Lord. So I was having dinner yesterday with some fine folks, and I said I threw Thursday and Friday and into Saturday, I had three messages at once. I didn't know how. I finally discarded and landed on one because this is a tough message to teach. It's a glorious message to teach, but it's a tough message to teach. It's not because the teaching isn't clear, because this is pretty clear. You can't read a lot into that or question a lot about that. That's pretty clear. The hard part is understanding what it means. I think it's easier to figure out why we don't delight in Him, why we delight in other things. I think that's easier. I think the issue is it's hard for us to think about delighting in the Lord ultimately. Why? Why is it so hard to get our arms around delighting in the Lord? Well, there's a few reasons. I'll give us two. First one, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So some here cannot delight in God. They're incapable of it because the great hurdle to them delighting in God, which we'll talk about later, has not been removed. Their unforgiven sin. They can't delight in God. So they're slaves to delighting in other things. The other one is one that Christians fall into. And it has to do with our view of God. A lot of Christians have this view of God. God was angry before Jesus. I came to Jesus. He's still angry. For some, our view of God prohibits delighting in Him. The whole of our Christian life is based on our obedience to Him so He doesn't get angry with us. It's hard to fit delight in there. So when we talk about delighting, some of us cannot connect that word to God. I can delight in a lot of things, but I just better shut up and obey God or He's going to be angry. So, we hear this command and we have to ask, what does it mean? What is meant by delighting yourself? Well, we could look at the Hebrew word a little bit. It gives us a little bit of background into what it is. It's to find contentedness. All of us want to be content. It's to find joy. is to find pleasure. So we talked about in transitioning from Psalm 34 to Psalm 37, we find a different David in Psalm 37. We find an older, wiser, more proverbial David, a man who had spent time seeking delight in all kinds of other things, including a woman on a rooftop who was not his. And he saw how that turned out. David says that we are to have God to be the center of our delight, our joy, the center of our pleasure. We are to find contentedness based on who he is, not based on what's around us. We are to delight ourselves in God. So let's ask some real short, simple questions. Why? Why should we delight ourselves in God? Secondly, why don't we? Why don't we delight ourselves in God? If we should, but we don't, why don't we? And lastly, how can we delight ourselves in God? What are some things that are helpful to help us to find our delight in God? The simple question as to why finds its beginning in a certain book. Guess what book? Genesis. The book of beginnings. We would say we were created to delight in God. A good God, a loving God, creates. And the apex of his creation is human beings. And those human beings are created to find everything good in relation to the God who created them and who they're in deep, devoted relationship with. We were created to delight in God. Have you ever thought about that? You were created. All humanity was created to be joyfully contented and delighting. That's how we're wired. Every single human being who is walking the earth or has walked the earth wants the same things. They want to be happy. They want to be joyful. They want to be contented. They want to have hope. All humanity shares the same goals. Why? Because it's part of how they were wired. We are all wired that way. So to help us understand this, and then we're going to use a lot of pictures to help us understand this. I thought this needed to be a picture sermon to help us grasp this. We have to connect three words that are inseparable. Inseparable. And I want you to connect these words. Very simply, it's these three words at the bottom of the screen. Love, delight, and glory. Love, delight, and glory. Don't lose me. Now, at that point, you're probably like, oh, great. Seminary time. No, just hang on. Because eventually this is all going to tie in if the Spirit allows it to. Love, delight, and glory. I think this is true. God created his creation out of love. Why? Because God is love. He created us to experience his love. He created us to experience our love for him. He created us to experience his delight, his approval. He created us so he would experience our delight, our approval. And in all of that, he would get the glory. That's a big concept. Love, delight, and glory. If we're ever going to get our arms around why do we need and how do we delight in God, we've got to understand we were created for this. Love, delight, and glory. God tells us to delight in him because that is why he created us. And that delight should flow from a love for him because that is why he created us. And when we love him, when we delight in him, I just love you, God. You are the source of my joy, God. He gets glory. We are showing how great and valuable he is. God created his creation to be connected to him. God created his creation to feel his love and to love him back. Here's the illustration we want to use, and we've used it here before. And you may think it's overly simplistic, but I think it's perfectly powerful in its simplicity. It is this illustration. We've used it before in here. Everybody knows what one of these is. Everybody has these in their home. It is an outlet and a plug. God, the outlet, the source of the power. The source, when we look at outlets, that's a source of electricity. God, the outlet, created us, the plug, to be plugged into him. That's how we're supposed to be. That's how Adam and Eve were created, to walk this earth, subdue it, spread his glory while they were connected to God, while they were plugged into God, loving him, experiencing his love, delighting in him, experiencing his delight. It was supposed to be so great. He is the source of all good things. Love, joy, peace, and hope. When we are plugged into him, we experience the power. We experience the current. Will we experience the power? Will we experience the current if we plug ourselves into a chair? Of course not. Don't be ridiculous. Will we experience the power if we take that plug and we plug it into a doorknob? Of course not. How about a garbage can? Of course not. We will only fulfill the reason that plug was created if we plug the plug into the outlet. And that's a perfect symbol, picture of us, the creation, the plug, and the outlet that we plug into to gain all good things. Delight yourself in the Lord. We will only experience true delight if we find it in him. We all want to delight. We do. We don't like to be sad. We don't like to be afraid. We don't like to be worried. And the problem is if we try to plug into circumstances, we're always going to be afraid. We're always going to be worried. We're always going to be sad. We're always going to go through periods of hopelessness. But if we plug into God, we can experience true delight and true joy and true hope no matter what the circumstances. That is our God. And it's okay to want to be happy. Some people have the picture of the Christian life that if I want to become a Christian, I've got to give up being happy. And we would say, well, no. You've got to quit doing the godless things that you think are making you happy. But what I'm offering you is an opportunity to experience true joy in Christ. That's part of the life more abundantly that Jesus talks about. One thing we have to remember is, a basic human behavior is, we delight in what we love. I delight in being with Melissa because I love Melissa. My delight follows my love. Melissa hopefully takes my delighting in her, and she sees that as an illustration of, or an example of, my love for her. She says, boy, he really loves me because he delights in me. He'd rather be here than playing softball with the fellas or whatever. He loves me. He delights in me. So there's a connection between love and delight. We cannot disconnect those two. We could put these two verses together very simply, I think. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. I guess the ESV jumbles those, and that's okay. And delight yourself in the Lord. I think that's all part of one thought there. We love God, and we delight in Him because of our love for Him. Those two are connected. God is the outlet. He is the source. We are created to love Him. We are created to find all of our delight in Him. We are created to find true joy connected to Him. We can only find true hope in Him. That's our created purpose. So why delight ourselves in the Lord? Why have Him as the source of true delight? Because that's what we are created for. He is the only place we'll find those things. So the question then is, that's the case, so why don't we? If this is so, why don't we just plug in and drink it in, and this is great, and I'm joyful, and I'm happy, and I got hope? Or if we want to expand that out, why don't we find our delight in God? Though we were created to delight in God, to find everything good in God, in connection with God, in our natural state, we don't. We don't. We are born into this world with the outlet being blocked. What is it blocked by? Our sin. The outlet is blocked by sin. Access to the outlet. And remember, the outlet is where I find hope, I find joy, I find peace, I find delight. It's blocked. I can't access it by my sin, by my unforgiven sin. It's closed. I cannot plug in there. The outlet is holy, and my little two-prong plug is defiled and dirty. It doesn't work. But what's the issue? The source, God. Come to God and you will find joy. You will find peace. You will find hope. You'll experience love, true love from God who is love. The problem is it's blocked by our sin. And the further problem is we can't access it, but we still want it. We still want it because we're created for it. So what do? We seek it somewhere else. We spend our lives seeking love. We spend our lives seeking joy, contentment, delight in all other sorts of things. When we seek our hope and our joy and our love in other things, other than the God for whom we were created, what do we call those things? Idols. An idol is something or someone you think you're going to get love, joy, peace, hope, satisfaction, contentment from, when those things only come from God. And idolatry is a major thing. We've talked about before how John, the blessed apostle John, ends that first epistle he writes, 1 John, with this. It's just out of the blue. It's so fast. You follow John's course of thinking through the letter, and oh, I'm feeling it. It's just going, and boom, at the end. Keep yourself from idols. All that I've talked to you about, you know what'll stop you from doing it? Idols. Keep yourself from idols. We live in a world permeated with idols, with a heart that is naturally drawn to them. And the thing about idols is this: they will run our lives and they will never satisfy. And when they don't satisfy, what do? We go on to the next one and believe their promises, the false promises. Idols are like false outlets. They appear like the real thing, But if you were to unscrew their cover, you'd see there's no wiring behind them. They can't deliver what on the outside they appear to want to deliver. That's what an idol is. They're empty. So the main issue for natural man is a blocked outlet. God, an unavailable source because of unforgiven sin. And the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God the Son came to remove that barrier. He comes to take that sin away and put it upon himself at a cross at Calvary. And if you trust that, if you believe that, if you've turned from thinking that somehow you can do that on your own, the outlet in which you find true hope, peace, and contentment is wide open. It's wide open. That's why Christians are the only ones who can experience true love, true joy, true peace, and true hope. Gone are the days where we're wasting our life hellbound, buying the myth that all these other outlets were going to deliver. But the world tells me they will if I just get this next one, if I just get a little more. And we chase them. We're delivered from that. And now we get to plug in and experience the real thing. The issue for those who have tasted that the Lord is good is that our remaining sin nature still buys the promises of these idols. Dead outlets. So what is Satan's job? So, the god of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. So if you're an unbeliever, his job, his joy is to keep you blind. If you've come to faith in Christ and you're indwelled by the Spirit and you're safe in the Father's arms, he can't have your soul. But what does he want to do? He wants to minimize your impact. He wants to minimize the testimony of your Christian life. He wants to make you as joyless as the unbeliever, as hopeless as the unbeliever. So what does he do? He puts as many false outlets in front of us as possible. Do this, get this, be like this, and you'll finally have joy. You'll finally experience true love. You'll finally experience peace, hope, and contentment. Our culture is littered with those things. And it is not like all of them are evil in and of themselves. Oftentimes they are good gifts. They're good gifts given by God. So we can almost see a chart like this. God gives all good things to us. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to see the good thing and then see God through them. And so it doesn't have to be a bad thing. One of the things that's big in our culture is, well, we're on different ends of the spectrum. We're in an age where there's no parenting at all being done. And on the other side is we have parents who make their children idols. So what happens there is children are this good gift from God. And instead of seeing through the children and delighting in the God who gave them the children, they stop with the children. And they end up worshiping the gift instead of the gift giver. Instead of continuing on and delighting in God through that thing, the thing, though in and of themselves they might be good things, they become the end. They become the God. They become the outlet we're trying to plug into. And what happens is we don't get joy and hope and peace in those things. Unbelievers are enslaved to this because they don't know God. That outlet is still covered. It's blocked by their unforgiven sin. They don't have access to it. So they have no choice but to keep trying the next one, trying the next one. But believers have hope. Unbelievers cannot get to that top rung above that arrow. They cannot get to the true outlet. But in the gospel, God in Christ removes the barriers. The barriers to true joy, true delighting, true fulfillment. We come to know him as creator of all good things. And then when we come to know him in all of his glory as creator, we can now see him as the creator of the good thing. And we don't stop there. We still rejoice in the children, in a good ball game, in a fine meal. But we see past them to the God who gives those things, and we delight in him, not the things. So if we were to go back to that initial slide that had a little paragraph on it, I would add two letters to it. God recreated his creation out of love, to experience his love, for it to love him, to experience his delight, his blessing, for it to delight in him. And in all of that, he receives the glory. We talk about a lot of times how we say the new birth, all that the new birth is fundamentally is it frees us up to do what we were created to do, that we were unable to do because of our sin. We were created to experience God's love and love him. We were created to experience God's blessing, his delight, and delight in him and bring him glory. We were created for that, but our sin ruins that. But in the gospel, God remakes us so this transaction can start to happen. That's the glory of the Christian life. That's the glory of the Christian life. Recreation happens in the gospel. And when we're recreated, the outlet is open. And now, Christian, we can experience love, joy, peace, and hope, truly. Not the counterfeit bankrupt version, the real thing that comes from God who created all things. And how does he do that? Why does he do that? Out of love. Out of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's out of love that Jesus came. God commends his love for us. He shows his love for us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's removal of the barrier, our unforgiven sin, what opens the outlet is done out of love. Love. That's the view of God we have to have. We cannot have the drill sergeant view of God. Some of us have spent a lot of time in churches where you get a heaping dose of the drill sergeant view of God. That can't be our view. It doesn't mean that God isn't holy and God isn't just and God delights in our obedience and us pursuing righteousness. It doesn't mean those things. Out of love, we now have the ability to experience true joy, true peace, true contentment. It is given out of love. Why? God knows that he is best for us. And out of love for us, he allows us to plug back into him by removing the barrier of unforgiven sin so we have access to him again. The veil is torn in two. the ability to truly delight ourselves in the Lord is now open. An ability to plug into God, the one whom we were created to experience, the one in whom we truly experience such things. It's open for business now because Christ has secured it for us. That's why we do all things for the glory of Christ. Out of love. So how then do we delight in the Lord? We understand why we were created that way. We were created to find all of the good things of our existence connected to God. We understand now why we don't, because first, sin breaks us apart from God and closes the outlet so we don't have access. But even when Christ opens that up, we still have something in us that wants to believe that that could satisfy more than God. How do we delight in the Lord? This has to be a work of the Spirit. Simply put, using our metaphor of outlet and plug, we stay plugged in. An old way of saying that, very simply, is we commune with the Lord. We enter into a communion with Him where we're interacting with Him deeply. We're interacting with Him deeply in some ways. We stay connected to Him. How do we stay connected to God? He's given so many ways. We stay connected. We stay plugged into the outlet through the Scripture. We labored last week in the Sunday school class to talk about why do we engage the Scripture. And the first answer to why we engage the Scripture is because the Scripture paints and keeps the picture of God vivid and clear. If I don't get my view of God from this, I'll start having a view of God who looks a lot like me. So the more we engage with God in His Scripture, the more the picture of Him is more clear, more vivid, and the more we're drawn to Him, the more we're plugged into the outlet, and we find our joy and we find our delight in Him. We start seeing all the good things in our life, and we see through them to the God who gave them. We see things that promise joy and hope and peace and contentment. And with a clear view of the true source of those things, we say, I'm not wasting my time there. Prayer. Meditating on the gospel. Meditating on your inheritance found in Christ. Corporate worship when we're together. Fellowship with the saints. The Lord's Supper. These keep us connected. To use plug and outlet, it keeps the currents flowing. If God is ever before us, the arrows keep going up and they don't stop until we get to God. We don't stop at the good things. We see through them to the giver of good things. And we praise His name for the good things. And we delight in Him for giving them to us. When we stay connected to God, we eat the glorious fruits of our salvation. What is the greatest fruit of our salvation? Rescue from hell? I would say no. The greatest fruit of our salvation is we can know God. There's nobody greater than God. And in Christ, we get to know Him. We plug in and we experience knowing Him, and our hearts become awash. They become awash in love. We become aware of how great His love is for us, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. We plug into God. We stay plugged in, and we experience his love. And we experience his love, we delight in him. No matter what the circumstances are. Why? Circumstances change, the love of God never changes. Why? Because the love of God has been secured at 100% by the person and work of Jesus Christ. We plug in and we experience knowing him. And we love him as a response to him loving us. When we recognize his love for us. And brothers and sisters, please, this is where the drill sergeant comes at the cost of it. We have to recognize, read your Bibles and read it recognizing God's love for you displayed in Christ. When we nourish ourselves in what God has done for us in Christ, when we nourish ourselves, meditate, read, pray, talk about, arrange our lives in accordance with the fact that his love for us never moves. It's always at 100%. And it has secured for us an incredibly bright future. When we plug in and recognize that no matter what is happening right now, our future is incredibly bright, we can delight in the Lord. When we plug in and stay connected to God through the means he's given us, we recognize that no matter what is happening, God is our Father. He doesn't jump in and out of fatherhood. Bad day? Must be God, mean God's on vacation, or God's given me up for adoption, or whatever it would be. He has adopted us in Christ. He loves us enough to adopt us into his family and care for us. Remaining plugged into God reminds us of those things constantly. Reminds us of his love. It frames our lives by his love. And our response to being plugged in and experiencing God's love is back to the beginning. We love him. We delight in him. And he gets glory. Those are the lives that you were saved to manifest. Love, delight, and glory. So if God opened the outlet of joy and opened the outlet of love and delight, what is our key to delighting in God? Love for God. That's why it's the first and great commandment. A recognition of his love for us stokes a love for him. A recognition of how much he cares for us, how faithful he is, how nurturing he is, how he'll never turn his back, how he's always there, he's always for us, he always steps in at the perfect time. Recognition of that stuff stokes a love for him. His love for us, an awareness of his love for us, should fan our love for him into flame. And that love for him should lead to delight and joy. Joy in knowing that God loves you. Joy in knowing that your future is incredibly bright. And I don't care what is before you this day, those two things never will change. Joy in knowing that God Almighty is with you, no matter what is before you. When we love God, when we delight in God, he gets all the glory. So how do we delight in God? We stay plugged into him and experience his love. We have that current constantly passing through us. Now, the bad news is we have an enemy. We have an enemy. Not a very friendly character, our enemy. So, what are his tools? If what I've just said is true, I'll tell you what's available to us? What everybody wants. Joy, peace, hope, contentment. I have the ability to plug into God. I do and experience those things. I don't have to live lives of worry. I don't have to wonder, how am I going to pay this? I don't have to worry about what happens when I die. I know all those things for sure because God loves me in Christ. What's the devil's goal? To get you unplugged. In our culture, it takes a couple of different ways. Here's one way. Busyness. Busyness. So busy. The devil, in our culture in particular, works so hard to make us so busy. So busy that we cannot stay plugged in. And when we are not plugged in, the current stops flowing and our hearts aren't awash for love for God. And then all of those other idols, the second ploy, start to look good. So he busies us. He busies us. We busy ourselves. And then our culture is filled with all other sorts of ploys, of idols, tons of different alternative outlets, every one of them promising what only God can deliver, an experience of love, community, fulfillment, joy, hope, peace, contentment. In our culture, they are everywhere. In part because man naturally wants them. We're created to want them. So there's a demand. And the devil and our culture does a good job of supplying. Because I know if that supply and demand meet, I keep people from being plugged into the real thing. A little biblical economics for you. There may be joy for a little while. There may be a version of peace, but for a moment. There may be contentment, but it's fleeting. There may be delight, but it's an unsustainable delight. Why? Because it is not being found in the one source, the one where all those things are truly found. So what happens when the worldly delight ends because the circumstance changes? They have nowhere to go. Except to another one. Christian, we have God who never changes. He's always there. He's always loving. He's always helping. He's always comforting. He's always guiding. He's always pouring out his grace. He's always showing mercy. He's always washing us over with a tidal wave of love. So plug into him, brothers and sisters. Plug into him. Accept no substitutes. And don't fall prey to the busyness and the false idols that claim that they can give you what only God can give you because you were created to have only God give it to you. Delight yourself in the Lord at all times, in every circumstance, good and bad, and eat deeply. I pray this is the case for this church. We need more churches that have such a connection to God. Eat deeply of the fruit that is given to you in your salvation, a loving, delightful relationship with God. That's ours in Christ. Let's pray. Father, help us to delight in you. Help us, Father. Help us. Help us to feel the intensity of your love in Christ. Help us to remain connected to you. Help us to find our delight and our hope and our joy in you. Sour our stomach when we come up against a false idol that promises such things. Help us to not fall prey to such things, Father. Keep us pure. Keep us away from idols. And keep our minds and our hearts firmly stayed on you for our good, but more importantly, for your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.